Our final case this morning is Prifty against Gonzalez.
Ed Gonzalez, good soon, great. Yeah. Poor fella, just alive. Need to do any of this.
Yeah.
Good morning, Your Honor. Easy.
Always wait till your adversary manages to find a seat.
Thank you.
Mr. Kohler.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. We believe there was two fundamental flaws in this case as decided by the immigration judge. The BIA basically affirmed the immigration judge's decision without any opinion whatsoever. The first fundamental flaw that the immigration judge did in this case was she found that the harm suffered by the petitioner in this case, Mr. Prifty, did not amount to persecution. Why is that a fundamental flaw? We must look at the facts of this case. Mr. Prifty was arrested in 1991. He was stabbed while in police custody. He was also burned in police custody while he was handcuffed. That was the first incident. The next incident, in 1997, Mr. Prifty was arrested while he was voting with his family. The third incident involved a beating that occurred in 1998 when Mr. Prifty was engaged in campaigning for the Democratic Party. He basically served with the Democratic Party in some fashion throughout most of his adult life. After this beating, he was left on the roadway bloodied. His friend, who was also detained by the police, was taken down the street and basically thrown out of the car. About 10 days after this incident.
These are his allegations, but of course your problem is that the immigration judge believed none of them.
Your Honor, I understand.
So you might want to address that.
I was going to get to that, and let's jump to the credibility finding with regard to this case. The immigration judge in this case makes a unique finding. It's on page 9 of her decision where she says, I find the court acknowledges that the respondent was discriminated against on account of his political opinion. That's what the court finds. So what the judge, in essence, says, the facts that he recounted in his 2 or 3 hour testimony was credible to determine discrimination, but wasn't credible to determine persecution in this case. And that is just inconsistent, Your Honor. If you're going to find someone credible to make a determination that the harm suffered was discrimination, the same credibility finding should go to the persecution. It just cannot be done. Either a person is credible on all counts and you believe him, or is incredible across the board and there's no point in getting to the issue of whether or not he was discriminated against. And as far as the credibility in this case, we must look at the evidence presented by the respondent and what the judge based her decision on. One of the issues that the immigration judge denied his credibility was this issue of some kind of document, an identity document, which the respondent, a booklet, said was torn apart during the testimony. Now, we must remember, this testimony is going from the respondent in his native Albanian to a translator and being translated to the court. The term torn apart is being used. The immigration judge says this is incredible because the booklet was not torn apart. When she concedes that one page of the booklet was torn apart, the rest of the booklet was tattered. Now, if we're going to sit there and nitpick on what the definition of torn apart is, then the whole issue of asylum should go out the window at that point. He said it was torn apart. Now, whether all 10 pages was torn apart or one page was torn apart is not material and not to be used against them in determining his credibility finding. A number of other factors that she looked at was some inconsistencies in dates, which the respondent clearly and credibly dealt with. He explained why there were inconsistencies. When he first applied for asylum, he used the aid of a translator. That translator made some errors, and those errors led to the errors in as far as the dates are concerned, Your Honor. So the credibility finding shouldn't be backed up in this case, and the evidence compels this court to find otherwise. We must look at another factor, the stabbing that occurred in 1991 and the burning that occurred in 1991. That fact was documented by the respondent, was documented by medical evidence presented from Albania, was also documented by evidence presented from the United States. He went to two clinics in the United States, Elmhurst Hospital and Cook County Hospital. He did an evaluation of the petitioner in this case. And in those evaluations, they found that his wounds were consistent with what the petitioner said occurred to him while in police custody. We also must look at the fact that the respondent's sister was raped in 1999 in Albania. Why is this important? That establishes his credibility. She returned to Albania after the respondent left. Upon her arrival in Albania in June of 1999, she was raped by Albanian security forces. What's the significance of that? She later came to the United States, applied for asylum, was granted asylum. That bolsters his claim, bolsters his credibility in this case. The immigration judge decided to focus on minor, minute facts minor discrepancies and then find this person incredible, ignoring the wealth of evidence, the wealth of testimony he presented in this case. He testified for about 3 hours in this case. And if anyone is going to testify in any proceeding for 3 hours, there is going to be an inconsistency at some point. Fatigue settles in. You have the issues of translators at this point. So now if we're to nitpick each and every one, then asylum cases will all be found incredible at this point, Your Honor. So the finding of the immigration judge, if you look at the facts, look at the record, it compels this court to reverse the decision of the immigration judge in this case with regard to her credibility finding. This also then would lead into the fact that the harm suffered in this case clearly meets the requirement for persecution. I mean, if you're going to be in jail, stabbed, burned, beat up on the side of the road, have your best friend shot in front of his house, have a death threat come to your house, have your sister raped, that is persecution clear and simple. If that's not persecution, then what is? And this court has ruled it under lesser situations in the case of Asani, where a person was detained for 1 day, had two teeth knocked out, and found that persecution. So in this case, Mr. Priefty clearly met the requirements for persecution with regard to his testimony. And the credibility findings that the immigration judge found in this case are just unwarranted if you look at the facts and circumstances of this case. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Colvin. Ms. Easton.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Amy Easton, and I represent the Attorney General in this matter. The immigration judge's findings must be sustained by this Court unless a reasonable fact finder would be compelled to reach a contrary result. In this case, the immigration judge found petitioner's testimony not credible. The adverse credibility finding is based on specific inconsistencies and implausibilities on issues that do go to the heart of the petitioner's asylum claim. The judge denied petitioner's claim on that basis, and in an independent finding that the petitioner also failed to establish persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution. The brief filed by the government thoroughly addresses these issues, but I would like to highlight a few points that counsel for petitioner discussed and some others, starting with the adverse credibility issue. The immigration judge's adverse credibility determination was cogent and was amply supported by the record. There are essentially three incidents that make up the petitioner's claim that he was persecuted. And although petitioner's counsel discussed certain of these inconsistencies that the judge found and said that these were minor and minute facts, what he didn't delve into was that the judge actually found discrepancies in the heart of the main incidents that petitioner claims for the basis of his asylum claim. And those were two of the incidents where he claims he was arrested and detained. The first was in 1991. The IJ found petitioner's story of his alleged detainment implausible and incredible. Certain facts just did not make sense. For example, petitioner testified that the door to his cell was locked, and he then clarified that it was only locked to the outside and that he had control to open his own cell door. He testified in the record on page 139 that if he didn't open the door, they couldn't come to him. So the petitioner incredibly maintained that a police officer at a police station was unable to open a locked cell door of a prisoner while the prisoner was freely able to open the door to his own cell. Additionally, the petitioner submitted a hospital certificate which had an inaccurate date of admission, was written 9 years later, and was written by a physician who did not treat the petitioner at the hospital on the day of his attack. And significantly, neither the certificate nor the petitioner's original affidavit specifically stated that the petitioner was stabbed or burned. These specific allegations were only in his amended affidavit and in the letters from doctors in the United States in support of his asylum claim submitted years later.
Isn't that enough to trump everything else?
I don't believe it is, Your Honor. I think that under the circumstances,
the physical evidence corroborates his story of slashing and burning. And isn't that enough to trump the inconsistencies that the immigration judge seized upon here?
No, I don't believe it is. There are many inconsistencies. And what these letters submitted from the doctors in the United States, you know, they had heard the petitioner's story and said that they could be consistent with that. But,
they also examined him, didn't they?
Yes, they did, Your Honor. Additionally, though, the IJ found that petitioner's initial statement failed to even mention the second incident or the arrest that allegedly occurred in 1997. And in fact, petitioner's original statement discusses being under surveillance during that time and even mentions the elections, but doesn't mention that he was arrested or detained or that he or his family was prevented from voting, as he now maintains. The petitioner attempted to explain that this was a mistake and blamed the interpreter. But you know, he said that the statement wasn't translated back and he didn't know what it said. And the IJ acknowledged in the opinion that sometimes this can be true. However, this statement was detailed in nature and only was missing information that's now crucial to his asylum claim. The petitioner also mentioned that the translator who translated this initial statement did not even translate 1% of what he told her. And if that was true and the translator didn't even translate 1%, he certainly should have known by the volume of what was submitted that it was incomplete. Based upon these discrepancies that go to the heart of petitioner's asylum claim, as well as other discrepancies, substantial evidence supports the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding. To briefly address the alternate finding by the immigration judge, even assuming petitioner's testimony was credible, the record does not compel the finding that petitioner is eligible for asylum. The judge concluded that the three incidents petitioner described in his testimony did not rise to the level of persecution. And persecution does not encompass all treatment that our society regards as unfair, unjust, or even unlawful or unconstitutional. And in this case, it depends on the circumstances, and the courts have found that brief detentions do not necessarily rise to the level of persecution as defined under this court. Because the evidence does not compel a contrary conclusion, this court should affirm the determination the petitioner did not suffer past persecution, and the presumption of future persecution should not apply. Petitioner has failed to establish that he has a well-founded fear of future persecution by showing that a reasonable person in his circumstances would fear persecution. In sum, the petitioner's evidence is insufficient to compel a finding contrary to that of the immigration judge. If there are no more questions, thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. My name is Ms. Easton. Anything further, Mr. Cole?
You know, with regard to this case, everyone seems to ignore the fact and forget about the fact that the petitioner's sister was raped in Albania in 1999 after the petitioner left the country. She came to the United States and sought asylum. That bolsters his claim that he and his family were persecuted. The knife wound, the burning that was established and proven from medical experts in this country, not some doctor in Albania, not of the advantage of two independent hospitals.
The problem I have with the wounds is that having a given wound doesn't establish the way in which it was inflicted. And the question on the table is not, has your client accurately described his physical condition, but has he accurately described the way in which his physical condition came to be?
I would agree with you in that regard, but that's where we have to look at all the evidence in this case and look at the facts in this case. He provided ample document evidence to show his membership in the Democratic Party. He provided ample...
But why then does his party membership card bear the 1999 date, and even though his activities supposedly on behalf of the party occurred in 1991 and 1993?
You know, the Democratic...
I understand his claim that he was working for a subsidiary organization.
Correct.
But why did the immigration judge have to believe that?
Well, Your Honor, he testified clearly on that issue. There were subsidiary organizations that you belong to, and you're under the umbrella of the Democratic Party. He belonged to those organizations at different times, Your Honor. He presented that evidence, and he presented it clearly and credibly with regard to his case. We must look at all the facts of this case, and the immigration judge decided to nitpick and just tear apart his case just on a couple of minor points, Your Honor. We feel he presented a clear, credible case in this situation. If there's no further questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess.
So what? Sanitary. Mm-hmm. Sanitary.